JG3.
Number 8A.
Okay, so therefore we know we do have what we've been given, so to speak, some kind of a form of answers to helping us on page 71 in the study aid to maybe helping us along our method, though it would be a shame if we just went here and just memorized these ideas and then use them on the science level without reasoning out why these ideas were chosen for these particular levels. So here we know column one on structuring the ideas of mind dimensionally. A lot of thought had in working through revelation and reason and demonstration and category-based reasoning when Max went through and could ask, well, what he thought maybe mind would be. What is mind as itself? What is mind in the to itself in the realm of the level of science itself? Asking the questions we just did, he gave us a short list of what he felt may be some of the ideas that maintain the integrity of the science level under mind. But again, as he says, don't put this into cement. Some of these ideas may have, again, were done, mostly this work was done in the early 70s, about 25 years ago, and he was working on the laws in 1971, 72, on the laws, what we call, of interdependence of the levels, and then in 73 on what we call the laws of the levels, or the horizontal laws. That we have the tapes to those classes, which we love. But picking out then, so the polishing over the years could be, if they're okay here, there doesn't seem to be any problem with what he has, as long as we always know that meaning is relational, that one thing can take on many forms, yet still remaining the one thing. So he felt we could use for ideas on the science itself level, where mind is being its own infinite mind, the one capital mind, or the capital all, or the first, or the basis, or the primordial conception, or intelligence, or divine will, or power. So we can see that we already could arrive at that ourselves through our work. So we see now that, and I don't really know if you can see this, it's something I had to write out quickly in the other class on the other coast, and it doesn't matter, it's all scrambly. I wrote it out really fast, and when I went home in between, I didn't have time to put it on the computer and redo it. It doesn't matter, I'll talk it out, you'll see here. But if you can at least get maybe a general overall point here, if a being is operating always therefore on the science itself level as principle being its own infinite principle, and this I understand in mathematics is a term, is a sign for a circle with a little, this like is its own infinite. Well, anyhow, that's how what we use. So principle with a circle and a little like this means principle is its own infinite principle. That would be the shorthand way of stating that law. Now, that's the law as it is. Principle is its own infinite principle. Now, its concession to divine science would be mind is its own infinite mind. Or the concession to divine science and absolute Christian science could be mind is its own infinite power. Therefore, mind is its own infinite power of mind. Or mind is its own infinite power of intelligence. Then its concession to the Christian science level. Therefore, there is no other power of mind. Back to the science itself level, because mind is its own infinite mind. It just brings you back to the law. Or mind is its own infinite power of intelligence. Therefore, there is no power of intelligence in the human mind. because mind is its own infinite mind. You see? And that already then is a from science itself level, which is the law, a concession to divine science, a concession to absolute Christian science, and a concession to Christian science, which brings us back to the science itself law. But because being is cybernetic, we know, and operates holistically, dimensionally, and teleologically, we can do that because it's within being. Stays within being, and it makes a nice little exercise. We can do that with mind blending with spirit, and you can do the rest at home. Let's say, mind is its own infinite spirit. Therefore, mind is its own infinite substance. Mind is its own infinite substance of mind. Therefore, there is no other substance of mind because mind is its own infinite spirit. Or we could say mind is its own infinite spirit, therefore mind is its own infinite substance of mind, therefore there is no substance to mortal mind, because mind is its own infinite spirit. Spirit, we'll just take this, spirit is its own infinite mind, therefore spirit is its own infinite. Do you hear the mind tone power? Could I say spirit is its own infinite substance of spirit here? No, why? We're blending with mind, aren't we? So spirit is its own infinite mind is under consideration. So spirit is, if spirit is its own infinite mind, then spirit must have its own infinite power within itself, does it? It doesn't need to go outside itself for spirit to be spirit, to do its spirit thing. Spirit is its own infinite power. It has within itself its power. That's nice to know, isn't it? That spirit is its own infinite power, therefore spirit is its own infinite power of spirit. There is no other power of spirit because spirit is its own infinite spirit. Or, spirit is its own infinite mind, therefore its spirit is its own infinite power of spirit. Therefore there is no power to matter. Because spirit is its own infinite mind. So, it's fun to go over this law. These are things we can do in our own quiet time or in study groups together, work out it. But these are exercises that build up an understanding of that level because somehow we want to get a tonality. The danger is leaving the exercise here and saying, I've done the science level. And that's often been the case, where students have gotten together in the past and they've done these exercises, and then we leave and say, well, now I've done the level. Consciousness of the level would be able to close all the books and begin to understand that law really again as consciousness, as what it means when principle is being its own infinite principle. Or what it means really when, if we can't hold it there, what it means when mind is being its own infinite mind. Or mind is being its own infinite spirit. Or mind is being its own infinite soul. Or mind is being its own infinite principle. Or mind is being its own infinite life. Or mind is being its own infinite truth. Or mind is being its own infinite love. That within mind itself, as we've seen, has its whole realm, its whole gestalt for mind being what it is. And again, as we saw on the exercise up, on the levels where it's I, mind, and we switch into mind being its own infinite mind, that experience of mind being its own infinite mind is an infinite realm of infinitude of mind, and that's an experience, and we stand in awe of the fact in our tonality building and consciousness building and being building that that's an experience. And so, therefore, in our quietude, do that with all the other synonymous terms in the matrix of infinity. And think of if we spent an evening going over all that is implied in this law of infinity just holding to the synonymous terms themselves. And it'd be the rhythm. If you go through a rhythm, it begins to build up some kind of an atmosphere. And as Max said, that the thing about a science is that it is, how does he say there when we work with laws? Laws are, well, it's interesting to ourselves anyhow, not so much what he says. They keep, when we go over them and polish them and polish them and polish them, these laws become, from abstract glory, Mrs. Eddy says, to concrete being. I found the term he says, stereotyped. They're like a stereotyped exercise. Any science works, and it sounds to somebody else's consciousness boring. You just, saying that over and over again, what are you doing? Auto-suggestion, hypnotic suggestion? You're trying to get in some stupor or something? Sounds like it, doesn't it? It's boring and repetitive to a conscious not cultured. It just sounds, I'm repeating myself. Is she crazy when she's saying, spirit is its own infinite spirit. Spirit is its own infinite mind. Spirit is its own infinite spirit. Spirit is its own infinite soul. Spirit is its own infinite principle. Spirit is its own infinite life. Spirit is its own infinite truth. Spirit is its own infinite love. To me, that isn't repetitive. That's letting me see, gee, spirit has within itself its own inner dynamic. Its own inner acceleration, its own inner logic, its own inner goal-directedness for spirit to be spirit in infinitude. Spirit doesn't have to look out of itself. That makes sense. Why, if mind has within itself its own inner acceleration, its own inner logic, and its own inner goal-directedness, and spirit has within itself its own inner acceleration, its own inner logic, its own inner goal-directedness, and if soul has within itself its own inner logic, its own inner acceleration, its own inner logic, and its own inner goal directedness. And principle, life, truth, and love have within themselves their own inner acceleration, their own inner logic, their own inner goal directedness. And that I know that the law behind all existence is that that principle has within itself its own inner acceleration, its own inner logic, and its own inner goal-directedness, and it's reflecting itself infinitely, spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis, and we're going on to spiritual spheres and exalted being in the experience of consciousness, because the admittance to oneself that we're God's own likeness sets us free from all this ascending and descending. It closes the door on death. It opens it wide to immortality. And we go on to spiritual spheres and exalted being. We're going forward on the dynamics and power of a principle that has all that inner acceleration, inner logic, and inner goal directedness itself, and we feel that that's the basis from which we go forward, spiral forward. Doesn't that do something? We don't feel we're on a mystical, empty, no-thing basis of nirvana. Through science and understanding, we get the power to go forward. And we have the scientific law, cultured in consciousness that lets us let go. We hang on, you see, that's the problem of the human because of our fear. We will not let go. But science, because the very first thing in the days of creation says, let there be. None of us, I mean, including myself, we had to learn to let there be. First of all, we couldn't let go of our friends. Because Mrs. Eddy said, what would the world be like without personal friends? Oh, my goodness, my personal friends. I need my personal friends. But in the creation chapter said, what would the world be without personal friends? There'll come a time when you'll have no friends. Why? Because we made them personal. We didn't take them as God gave them to us. We made personal friends. And we hanged on to them until we just... until they said help, because we look to them to do everything, carry the garbage out, go to the bank, do all my mathematics, listen to all my problems, solve all my problems, be the thing we cry on, bring home the money, do all this stuff until we absolutely left this poor friend like that. And then we wonder why this poor thing says, I'm out of here, this is... were such a leaning violet on this poor thing that it finally says, you know, get your own life. Get a life. You see, that's what it means personal, doesn't it? So this law lets us finally be a law unto ourselves, doesn't it? And so we finally, through our exercising, be able to see what Jesus said, work out our own salvation on our one-on-one relationship with principle. When we're right with principle, we're right with everyone else, and we do not lean any longer on someone else, on any personality or organization. Mrs. Eddy said, divest ourselves of organization and we're nothing. We hide behind an organization. The organization gives us power. The organization gives us the right to say, you live, you die. The organization says, I give you money, I don't. I do this, I do that. It tells you what to do and what not to do. The people get their power within, they become the little gods of an organization. Big fish in a little pond. And so that, and Mrs. Eddy said, divest us ourselves of organization, we become much more human to each other. We take on this corporate life, and it gives us some kind of an authority. Well, I belong to this and that corporation, you see, and it has so many billions of dollars behind it, you see. Get rid of all that, and what would the CEOs be? It's their qualities that we'd be, as we'll see. So it's our one-on-one relationship with principles. So we see, work out our own salvation, our one-on-one with principle, and occupy till I come. All everything is the occupying till I come. The goal is this, isn't it? It's the greatest thing that we can do. We are who we are in consciousness according to where we are on the levels. Until we are to ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. So when the structure of consciousness and the structure of reality are one and the same thing, then we see ourselves as God sees us, and then we can see that is the goal of what's happening in being, isn't it? Then there is no longer this, we all identify with the principle, and the principle identifies us with everyone else. Then it's nothing personal about the relationships. It's a principle-based relationships. In the universe, including Earth, including all mankind, including all our activities on the business and on the individual level, and then there is harmony, isn't there? Finally, in peace, to that struggle and stress of relationships. That seems to be one of the biggest causes of illness today in the world. So we have, as we know now, the methods of science through those 8 steps of culturing consciousness and the tonality of the terms till we can love the law of the level of science itself. And then we see the goal of the law of the level of itself, science itself, and see that that law has within itself its own inner dynamics. And if we have let go of the personal I am and turned ourselves over to this law, that we have no fear that we're going to lose our identity, Mrs. Eddy said, mutating away from time and space. We don't lose our identity, but we gain everything, don't we? Everything. We lose the laws of limitation, don't we? We lift off the restraints of limitation and we're set free. That's freedom. To master the infinite idea. She just didn't say idea. She said to master the infinite idea. That's science itself. So this is what this law should do in its exercising in a concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building. And it is big. That's why we can see, is there an ultimate law? Well, there looks like. But that ultimate doesn't mean final. It means that it is that law from which we spiral forward. So not only, so that law spirals forward. Now, as that law, therefore, I just want to show you the different ways then that is happening. Then that law, different ways in the of illustrating the same thing. This is just different ways of saying the same thing through graphics. And symbols are often a good way of catching a law. So we see then in the study aid on page, what was it, Shirley? 32? We just see another way of showing this law, except as in the matrix, is when mind is being its own infinite mind, or mind is being its own infinite spirit, or mind is being its own infinite soul, or mind is being its own infinite principle, or mind is being its own infinite life, or mind is being its own infinite truth, or mind is being its own infinite love through the infinite self-reflection of being, that law of infinite self-reflection of being, we then end up with this form that is, it gives that sense of withinness being its own infinite. That's another way of showing the matrix or womb of infinity. There we get that infinite blending and reflection going on within being. If I can show it with, I always try it in a little color because it, synonyms always, they are a little bit more translucent. But anyhow, or you could show that blending, these are just different symbols. Spiritual education is always through symbols. Some people like other ways of showing the seven blending with the seven. But however you want to show the seven blending with the seven, it is an activity, isn't it? It's something that is dynamically happening. It's not just flat two-dimensional. When you get a sevenfold reflection, this is an operation that is going on in being. And therefore, when we get such an operation going on in being, what happens when that law is constantly self-reflecting itself? What happens? Does it maintain a circle as we just had it? That was flat and two-dimensional in that symbol, wasn't it? But it, because spiritual education is always through symbols, Mrs. Eddy say, they help us get they help show us what is going on. We see now it isn't a static sense. It's much more a moving sense. And when we get something, a sphere of infinite self-containment that moves, what is it doing? A sphere when it moves. It becomes a, what she says, you spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. So that infinite infinitude of being, everything is still locked in to the infinitude of being. But every time that being begins to reflect upon itself and reflect upon itself, it's always new, it's always new, it's always new. And when it's always infinitely reflecting upon itself, it begins, she says, to spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. Now we know why she used the word spiral, because it's a law of infinite self-reflection. So that causes us to spiral forward. Do we spiral forward just according haphazard spiral? Or does that spiral operate according, as she says, to spiritual mathematics? It operates according to definite, definite logarithmic spiral. It isn't a spiral. It's according to an exponential growth rate, it spirals. So there are different ways of seeing it spiraling. I just want to show that symbols are used only to let consciousness see what happens when something spirals. It doesn't repeat itself, and we're just using what Mrs. Eddy said. We're not doing anything fancy on our own. She says, when she says it spirals, it spirals. And when something spirals, it always spirals according to a logarithmic spiral. That's what they discovered way back at the time of the Greeks, that a spiral happens in an exponential growth rate. And this is how Max shows when the vertical touches the horizontal, where Mrs. Eddy says you've got to get out of addition into multiplication. And multiplication, he says, makes that addition exponential spiral, that life is exponential. And that means it spirals according to an exponential logic, which is symbolized by a logarithmic spiral, that is a spiral that has been seen in nature. Here it's seen in fractal geometry. Fractal geometry is just the geometry of the irregular, meaning that it is a geometry. We know that today in the world, the impact of spiritual spiraling has its impact, as we saw yesterday, on the human mental realm of mathematics. And in the human mental realm of mathematics, they see today they have gone beyond a non-Euclid form of explaining mathematics. Euclid was a geometry of the regular, of cones and circles and rectangles. But today they talk about the geometry of the irregular. Doesn't mean it's irregular, meaning it's not working. It means that it's a geometry they call of fractals or fractalization. And fractals means that something that constantly restructures itself is a little different, a little different, a little different, a little different. So instead of the geometry of Euclid, it's today they see that there's this non-linear, non-Euclid geometry, which is because of infinite restructuring. Keep something always new, always. That's what makes it spiral. It's always a little kink, a little different, a little different, a little different, you see? And so that's what kicks it into this spiral. So we could also use for this law, the law of capital self-similarity. That's this law of fractalization. The self is constantly restructuring itself. Now, it's not that remember at the beginning of the class, I said we are never, never, never reasoning out from matter to spirit. We never look to mathematics for our answers. We're seeing the impact of the subject on human mathematics. And if Max used the word cybernetics, are we upset? No, he said it was divine cybernetics. Didn't every spiritual teachings use the symbols of the day and give it a higher meaning? We know that that creation myth was around for centuries. And we aren't upset that the first record of creation is called the law of creation. They took it from the creation myths in the day and gave it a higher meaning and call it the first record of creation. We know in those days of those myths of creation that were around, they said the first record of creation said it's not the second record of creation myth. We say, take the symbols of the day, but we always give it a higher meaning. That's why Max took the symbol of cybernetics and said it's divine cybernetics. So we are not teaching human mathematics. She says it's spiritual mathematics, but it has its impact on the human. And the human today sees that we have gone beyond Euclid geometry of the two-dimensional thinking into a non-Euclid geometry, because being can't be explained as circles and cones and squares, because it's a law of self-reflection. And they say that non-Euclid geometry, they call it the law of irregularity or the law of similarity or the law of fractalization, which just means that it's different, 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 which causes a spiral, you see. Can you see? We are not teaching from the world. We're reasoning from cause to effect and see the impact. Nothing says we can't use that language of the world.